Hello, I'm Robin Terrero. My guest today is a gentleman by the name of Mark Till. Mark and I are going to be talking about a group of nutritional supplements called glyconutrients. You may never have heard of glyconutrients, but they are remarkable in the strides that it's making in improving health and wellness. Mark, thank you so much for being here today and talking with me about this new discovery, if you will, of glyconutrients. Let's get right into it. What are glyconutrients?
Basically, a new class of nutrients. We've all heard of something like essential amino acids and essential fatty acids, and we've all heard of vitamins and minerals. Those are categories or classes of nutrients. And in the last few years, science has discovered an entirely new class called glyconutrients. And what they are is a special group of carbohydrates that the body uses in any number of ways internally beyond just for energy. That's part of the reason that some people have actually resisted embracing this new group of nutrients, because forever we've known that carbohydrates are what the body uses for energy. Mm-hmm. And so when we come along and say that carbohydrates have a different purpose within the body, when the paradigm has always been that they're what the body burns for energy, it was hard for people to embrace that.
Right, because as a pharmacist, when I hear the word glyco, as in glyconutrients, I think of sugar. And when we think of sugar, we typically think of it as being an energy source.
Right.
And anything beyond being an energy source, we think of it as being bad for us.
Correct. But there are actually over 200 carbohydrates or sugars in nature that we know of. And the vast majority of them are burned for energy, but there's a small select group that has a totally different function in the body. And that's what glyconutrients are, those eight specific carbohydrates that have a newly discovered function in the body.
So there's eight of them, eight specific sugars, if you will,
yes.
Carbohydrates. Is this based in science?
Totally. It was actually discovered initially by a pharmaceutical company looking to find new drugs. A lot of times they will go out and find something that has been touted by medicine men over the years as something, and they'll try to find out what the component of that element is that gives it its benefit, and mm-hmm. then they'll try to build a synthetic version of that to make a drug.
So they can patent it.
That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. Well, what happened was a pharmaceutical company was trying to find the active ingredient in aloe vera. Well, we've known for thousands of years that aloe vera, I mean, they talked about it in the Bible. Everybody has one in their kitchen window. So what happened in the 80s was a pharmaceutical company was trying to find the active component of aloe vera. They identified it as mannose, which is a carbohydrate, and they developed a process to stabilize it so you could take it out and it would have a shelf life. And that was the initial discovery of it. Well, then there's been numerous testing through, you know, when you take a drug to market, you've got to go through testing. And so they went through
yes.
all kinds of tests.
Yes.
But something interesting happened. There was a medical textbook called Harper's Biochemistry.
Okay.
And they used this textbook in about 80 of our America's 120 universities. And in 1996, they had a new chapter in this textbook that outlined that on the surface of every cell, let's say my hand is a cell. On the surface of every cell are attached to it proteins, and they're like little trees, okay? Mm-hmm. And attached to the proteins are little limbs, and these limbs are made up of carbohydrates, eight carbohydrates, and one of them was mannose.
Mannose,
exactly.
Found in the aloe vera.
That's exactly right.
So this is completely different than vitamins, minerals, essential fatty acids, essential amino acids.
Yes.
This is a whole new class of nutritionals.
Exactly.
That's very exciting.
It is exciting to someone who understands the depth of it. You know, and I know, and maybe the general public doesn't know, the Royal Navy used to have a disease called scurvy. The sailors got it.
Mm-hmm.
And then one day a sailor sucking on a lime didn't get scurvy.
Right.
So they all started sucking on limes, and then they started calling the sailors limeys.
Okay.
They later discovered it was the vitamin C in the lime that allowed it to work. Okay, so scurvy was a dreaded disease that would kill you in 6 weeks or so after you found out about it, unless you ate vitamin C. So it was reclassified as a vitamin deficiency, and then it was no big deal.
These eight sugars then make up the components of glyconutrition.
That's exactly right.
What do these little sugars do that are out there on these little limbs?
I wish there were a way I could explain that in one sentence, but there's not. So to make it as simple as possible, I was at Chicago O'Hare International Airport recently, and I was on the runway, And I was looking out one window and I saw planes taking off every 90 seconds on a couple of different runways and landing every 90 seconds. And I looked out the other window down the terminal, and there was two terminals, and there's like 20 of them there, I don't know. But in each of these two terminals, there were like 20 planes. And I looked and passengers were getting on and getting off, and luggage was moving from one plane to the next and across to the next terminal. And it was just fascinating. And I thought to myself, my gosh, they must have an incredible communication network to make all this happen.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the complexity of Chicago O'Hare International Airport is nothing compared to the complexity of our anatomy and how our body works, and primarily how our immune system functions. These eight glyconutrients on the surface of our cells, the way they connect together, allow the cells to communicate. And when the cells cannot communicate, you and I cannot be healthy. They're like Braille, if you will, to a blind person.
Okay.
When the cells touch each other, they read those carbohydrates and they can communicate about the DNA inside the cell. They can communicate about the health of the cell. Is it a healthy cell? Does it need vitamin C? Does it need vitamin D? Is it damaged and does it need antioxidants? Or maybe the immune cell that floats along and actually touches this cell realizes it's a damaged cell. The DNA was damaged when the new cell was made and it's a cancerous cell. The immune system comes along, touches it, says, yeah, you're part of this body, you have the same DNA, but you're messed up, you're weird, you're really dangerous, you're cancerous. He grabs a hold of it.
So it helps our cells even tell each other that they're sick.
Exactly. So in this case, he grabs a hold of the cancer cell and tries to eat it and kill it himself, and if he can't, through the carbohydrates, he sends a message through the body, send me natural killer cells that come and attack the cancer cell. And that happens to you and to me every day, 1,000 times a day. But when there's not enough carbohydrates on the surface of the cell, he can't recognize that as a cancer cell, and he doesn't try to kill it, and then the cancer cell grows, multiplies, and becomes a tumor or some other type of cancer.
So, we can't make the statement that these glyconutrients heal.
That's correct.
From what I've learned just in this short time of me talking to you is that these sugars enable us to heal ourselves.
That's exactly what they do. If you cut your hand, your body says, we're bleeding. We need coagulants to stop the bleeding. That's communication. Then it says, we need immune cells to come fight infection and bacteria. And doctors would call that purulent exudate. But it's white blood cells to protect infection. Then it says, we need plasma to come and make a scab. And then more of different types of plasma to make a scar. All that is about communication. The body can heal itself if it has the components to do it. And you can put vitamins and minerals and herbs and drugs or anything else in your body all day long, but if your body cannot communicate about what to do with them, it doesn't matter. These glyconutrients allow the body to communicate about what to do with the other parts and raw materials that we're supposed to get in our diet. Every sickness, every disease that we get, every virus or bacteria that our body fights, every cancer that we have, the immune system tries to manage it, kill it, repair it, fix it, whatever. And it can only do that if it can communicate about the problem. And what's interesting is, since we've discovered these glycoproteins on the surface of our cells, there's a group of people that begin to believe that if you would supplement your diet with the glyconutrients, that your body could rebuild those structures of glycoproteins. And if your body rebuilds a structure, it can enable normal function. And when the body functions normally, it kills cancer. Cancer doesn't kill you. When the body functions normally, it doesn't attack itself with an autoimmune disease called Crohn's or multiple sclerosis or allergies or asthma or arthritis. Those are autoimmune diseases. And the body doesn't do that when it functions normally. The body has to have the glycoproteins to have the structure to enable proper function.
Why does my doctor not know about these?
To be quite honest, I have a number of doctors that I consult with and work with, and I ask all of them because I want to know the answer. And the bottom line is they get about one class on nutrition in medical school.
Right.
And then they get on to the good stuff in their mind.
Yeah.
And once they get out of medical school, virtually all of their continuing education comes from the sources of treatments and cures, which is pharmaceutical companies.
Right.
And we're talking about nutrition, not pharmaceuticals.
Right.
We're talking about supporting the body's ability to function normally so it can heal itself and defend itself from virtually any sickness or disease.
Okay.
There's another problem there, that even though the physiology or the biology is now in medical textbooks and it started being taught a couple of years ago, one of the things that doctors are taught is that your body can manufacture these. Well, that's true, but that's not the whole truth.
The body can manufacture these sugars?
Exactly.
Okay.
You know, we have things like essential amino acids.
Right.
The reason they're called essential, Robin, is because your body can't make them. There are certain amino acids your body can synthesize.
Right.
Certain that it can, okay. But these carbohydrates are not called essential, although they are required. They're vital. The reason they're not called essential is because your body can manufacture them. And this created a problem for me when I first began to study this.
Uh-huh.
I'm thinking, wait a minute, if your body can make them, why would you need to eat them?
Right. Okay. Good question.
When we were hunter-gatherers and we would go through the year eating different foods, okay, we would get different glyconutrients, and at any one time, we might not get fucose or mannose or xylose.
Uh-huh.
So our body can make it until next week or next month we eat something else that has that in it. Our bodies were never designed to make six of them all the time. That's the problem.
So it makes some of them some of the time, but not all of them all of the time.
Close. It can make all of them, but it's not designed to make all of them or a major portion of them all of the time. And a lot of people with things like chronic fatigue syndrome,
uh-huh.
they're always tired.
Uh-huh.
And the reason is their body's trying to fight some illness, but at the same time, it's trying to survive. Exactly.
It's trying to survive. It's like the body will take what it needs for survival.
It'll rob Peter to pay Paul.
Exactly.
And then you wind up with some condition down the road because you were deficient. It's deficiency. That's a key word. We get two of these in our diet. We don't get the other six. Very hard.
So that's the facts there, uh-huh. that we actually consume two of the sugars?
Right. On rare occasions, we might find something somewhere if we ate something raw, but we process things and we cook things, and there's just very, very few people ever get more than the two, so our body is forced to make these other six all the time.
You supplement them back then?
Here's what I know. When people eat the glyconutrients, medical conditions that they had seem to go away.
Yeah, and I'd like to talk about that for a little bit.
Okay.
What are some of the conditions that this has turned around?
Well, firsthand, I was healthy when I started to supplement with these. The reason I did is because in clinical studies at the American Longevity Institute, there are 10 ways that science measures aging. And in long studies, they measured that 8 of these biological markers of aging were reversed when people ate glyconutrients for long term. I wanted to slow down aging. I'm somewhat vain, I guess. I wanted to slow it down, so that's why I started eating them. And what I noticed was that I had increased muscle definition, which is one of the biological markers of aging.
Yes.
I had astigmatism on my eye, and my doctor changed my eyeglass prescription because of it. I didn't have heartburn or indigestion anymore. And it wasn't that this treated any of those things. It's that it restored my body to rebuild the structure so it could have normal function. That was me personally. What have I seen? I've shared this with people all over the United States, and I could tell you stories that would raise the hair on the back of your neck. You know, little girls with cystic fibrosis, which are supposed to be, you know, nothing they can really do about it except manage the symptoms. And 70-80% of children die by the time they're, you know, 18 years of age with this terrible disease. Well, you little girls start eating this stuff, and all of a sudden, they start digesting their food.
Really?
Their parents don't have to do the compression beatings on their chest to break up the mucus. The doctor does x-rays and says, I can't believe this. You have the lungs of a normal, healthy, you know, 11-year-old. Not only that, but they run track meets and win third place. You know, cystic fibrosis children don't run anywhere. They can barely breathe. And doctors will tell you it's medically impossible. You know, well, just because it's medically impossible for a drug to do that,
correct.
Doesn't mean your body can't correct itself if it has what it needs.
That's very powerful.
They are physiologically required and imperative for your body to function normally. The year before last, the National Institutes of Health, through Scripps, awarded a $34 million grant to study glycobiology. Not the supplements, but the science of the function within the body.
Of those 8 sugars.
Yes. And the majority of that money went to 3 major universities, and one of them was the University of Oklahoma.
Okay.
And this is a copy of our state paper in Oklahoma from April of this year.
Mm-hmm.
And the lead article says, local cystic fibrosis team targets bacteria. What they found was that there's a bacteria that children with cystic fibrosis have.
Mm-hmm.
And this bacteria gets inside the cells of the lungs and the digestion system, and there's this bacteria there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what most people don't understand if they don't know the physiology is a bacteria and a virus will oftentimes get inside one of the factories in our cells and hijack it and get that cell to make more of that virus or more of that bacteria, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, mm-hmm. think about this. If that factory is hijacked and it's making bacteria or virus, what's it not doing?
It's not making healthy cells.
It's not making what it was supposed to make.
Correct.
Okay? Well, it goes on to say that children with cystic fibrosis, listen to this, have malformed glycoproteins, the glyconutrients attached to the protein on the cell. They're malformed. So when the 11-year-old girl that I referred to eats the glyconutrients, the body can reform the glycoprotein on the cell.
Okay.
And when the structure is rebuilt, there can be normal function again.
And that just happens to be the way it works with cystic fibrosis.
In that particular case.
In that particular case.
Exactly.
We're back to communication. Whatever the communication needs to be, if all of the 8 sugars are there,
yes,
then the communication can take place.
That's exactly right.
To provide wellness in whatever area
yes.
that we're talking about. Are there drug interactions?
That's an excellent
question. If you're on prescription drugs, for whatever, diabetes, high blood pressure, can you take these glyconutrients safely?
Well, I could answer that with a yes or no answer, but let me help you understand how important that is. When this was initially discovered, it was taken to the FDA to get it approved as a drug. Okay? The first one was, the mannose was.
Okay.
And when they were looking at it, the FDA wants to know 3 things. Number one is, what's the toxicology study show? So in lab tests, you have to give more and more and more of it to your lab rats or whatever you're using until half of them die. And they call that LD50, as you know, the lethal dose, 50% die.
Right.
Well, they want to know the toxicity. The next thing they want to know is, how does it interact with other drugs? Is it going to cause side effects? Is it going to nullify those? What's it going to, how's it going to interact? And so when they went to the FDA with these studies, it was not toxic at all. Number two, it had no negative drug interaction. So because of that, and the third reason, what's going to be the claim on the label? Because one drug gets one treatment, one claim, unless it goes through multiple testing. And, you know, there were multiple claims, so the FDA denied it as a drug. They didn't say it didn't work. They didn't say it had no benefit. They said it doesn't qualify as a drug. It's not toxic. It doesn't interact. It has multiple claims. It's not a drug. So no, it does not interact with other drugs. It's perfectly safe.
It's supposed to be there anyway.
It's supposed to be there anyway. That's exactly right. Well put. Dr. Glenn Hyland is a radiation oncologist out of Bismarck, North Dakota, and he did a study and submitted his results to the National Cancer Institute, National Institutes of Health, and he said 5 things. Now, this is, I'm paraphrasing, but I'm very close to 100% accurate on this. He says, number one, they do not interact with normal radiation and chemotherapy treatments. They do not nullify or interact negatively. Number two, it seems to make normal chemo and radiation work better for cancer patients. He said, number three, it actually protects the healthy cells from being damaged by the chemo and radiation.
That's amazing.
It is amazing. Number four, he says, in cases where chemo and radiation is not effective, it seems to inhibit tumor growth by itself. And number five, it reduces and sometimes totally eliminates the side effects of the chemo and radiation. It does not interact. It's food. It's something you're supposed to get in your diet. Sometimes people ask me, well, I want to ask my doctor. Well, here's the question to ask your doctor. Is it all right if I eat good, healthy food while I go through this treatment or take this drug? Because that's what it is. It's food that we're supposed to get in our diets, but our diets have changed and we don't get it anymore.
Doctors are reluctant, as you know, sometimes to say that it's okay for us to take nutritional supplements. Mm-hmm. Why are they so reluctant?
Well, there are a number of reasons. One, and it's all in good faith. I mean, it's all err on the side of caution, and it's for our best interest. So I appreciate the fact that they're that way. But one of the reasons is this. In the medical world, if you're going to prescribe a drug, it has to be tested, and it has to be trustworthy. And so they require standardization, stabilization, and processes for every drug. Well, in the nutritional industry, there's no government agency forcing regulations for standardization, stabilization, so 95% of them don't. And so you can't count on the consistency of a product from one bottle to the next being the same, and sometimes for one pill to the next inside the same bottle being the same. And doctors, there's no consistency and stability in that, so they discount it. Another reason is what they're not up on and what they don't know about, they might not have time to research. So to err on the side of caution, they'll tell you don't do it, it might interfere, just because they don't want it to in case it does.
What else does the cell need?
See, the body has to be regulated, okay? Mood, temperature, hormone production of all sorts. So we have to have certain plant hormones, phytosterols, to enhance that, and that helps regulate cells. Cells have to be defended and repaired when they're damaged by free radicals, by things called antioxidants. Cells need vitamins and minerals to feed and nourish them, okay, so that they can reproduce and do the things that they do. And all that works together. But the key thing is the communication. See, you use a computer from time to time, right? Okay. There are thousands of programs that run on your computer. I mean, you can do your taxes, you can do your books, you can do your genealogy, you can surf the internet, you can do thousands of things with different computer programs that run on the computer. They're all valuable, they're helpful. But there's one program that runs the computer. It's called the operating system, Windows.
Right.
If you don't have Windows on your computer, you can't surf the internet or go to Yahoo.
Okay.
These glyconutrients are the operating system in your body, and they make everything else work.
To make sure the cells communicate,
mm-hmm.
we need the sugars, but then we need the other components of nutrition to carry those messages out.
That's exactly right.
Is that right?
How many times have you heard someone say, well, I've taken vitamins and mineral supplements for years and never saw any benefit? Well, if your body can't communicate about what to do with them, it doesn't really help you a lot to be there. They help a little, but not a lot.
And that might explain why they help drugs to work better as well.
That's exactly right. It helps the body can communicate about what the problem is. And it also helps the body work independently of the drug as well, because the body was designed to heal itself.
Right.
So, exactly. Operating system of the body.
So the cell needs all of these things, not just glyconutrients.
That's right.
It needs the vitamins and minerals. It needs the essential fatty acids. It needs the essential amino acids.
Exactly.
It needs all of these things working in unison for optimal health.
That's right.
We're not saying that glyconutrients is the cure, is the answer to all of our nutrition problems, and we just take glyconutrients and we can flush everything else. That's not what we're saying at all.
Right.
That we're missing these sugars, so we're not communicating on a cellular level.
That's exactly right.
And when we can reestablish cellular communication, then we can send the message out to the rest of our body and we can heal ourselves.
Exactly. Exactly. You've heard that cancer will metastasize.
Yes.
It'll spread.
It will spread.
Well, what most people don't understand, if you have a type of cancer, say liver cancer, it's the liver cells that are cancerous. Well, the liver cells live in your liver. They
right.
don't live in your lungs.
Right.
So when it metastasizes, liver cells left the liver and went to the lungs or wherever it went.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, why does it do that? We think it's just a bad cancer. Well, you know what we found out?
What?
On the glycoproteins, the first several carbohydrates are the mannose. The way the mannose connect themselves together creates a charge that identifies that cell as a liver cell. And when the cancer is there and the charge is messed up, that's when the liver cell floats away and goes somewhere else. And people sometimes ask, well, where are the clinical studies on this? Because that's what doctors want to rely on, and it makes sense.
True, right.
They say, where are the clinical studies?
Which is another reason they're reluctant sometimes with nutritionals, because there are not a lot of clinical studies.
Exactly.
But we know why.
It's because there's no money in nutrition.
Right.
There's millions and millions of dollars in research and pharmaceuticals.
You cannot patent a naturally occurring substance, only a synthetic. If it occurs in nature.
Right. In
therefore,
that form.
Therefore, you can't, you know, when all your research is done, the money is spent.
Yes.
You can't secure your investment.
But because they don't occur in nature, all eight of them.
Okay.
Let me show you. This gentleman, Dr. John Rollins, he was one of the managers at the U.S. Patent Office. And he was in the department that oversaw virtually every nutritional application for patent over the last 17 years. He was asked about different monumental patents and things that were applied for. And here's what he said. This is a quote. Okay. He says this: there have been many significant discoveries, but one stands head and shoulders above the rest. The discovery of a new category of vital nutrients called glyconutrients. That's a pretty powerful statement. Here's something from the MD News, Medical Doctor News, came out in spring of 2002. It says this: glyconutrition and nutraceuticals are the next phase of dietary supplements. They aid in cell-to-cell communication and promote the body to heal itself. Now, here's what's key. They are not alternatives, but complementary. You know, most of our medical doctors became medical doctors because they have a heart to help people.
Right.
And they're given drugs, okay?
And they're doing what they know how to do, and they have this heart to help people.
Exactly.
They're doing what they were taught.
That's exactly right. And what they were taught came from this field of science, and there's been a new field of science. okay, that's developed, and they don't yet know about it. They don't run in the same circles. But in another 5 or 10 years, they will. Listen to this. MIT, Massachusetts Institute of Technology, in February of 2003, their cover article was 10 Emerging Technologies That Will Change the World.
Okay.
Now, that's pretty impressive.
Yes.
One of them is the study called glycomics. Not the supplements. Let me confuse anyone. Mm-hmm. Not the supplements. But the study of the glycoforms, the glycoproteins on the cell and what they do. All of these things come together to form a body of evidence. You know, we have the American Medical Association.
Yes.
In Europe, they have the Royal Society of Medicine. In their immunology department, they have a complete wing that studies glycobiology.
If a person wanted to get these glyconutrients, it's my understanding they're not sold in stores just off the shelf. Why is that?
Well, originally they were. And people in their mind, when something new comes along, they interpret their understanding of that in light of what they already know. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so when you put something on a shelf, they typically categorize it, stereotype it with something similar. So we put this in health food stores in the beginning, but nobody bought it, or very few did, because nobody knew what it did.
I see.
Because it came from one source. There wasn't mass advertising from all these different locations.
Okay.
So it was, people weren't educated about it. So the company, they weren't selling any, and they decided the only way to really market it is through a nutraceutical rep, someone who was an associate.
Like yourself. Like
myself, who became educated and could then tell people. And we have to be very, very careful about what we say and how we say it so that we don't make medical claims, because it's not a drug. Therefore, it's not a cure or treatment for anything. It supports the normal structure in the body, mm-hmm. so then the body can then have normal function. A few months ago, I was found to be walking down the side of the road, and my car was back there, and people would drive by and honk and wave, but they wouldn't stop. So I started trying to figure out why, what are they thinking? There's my car. Here I am. I'm dressed nice. Why don't they stop and help me? And I thought, maybe they're saying that poor schmuck, his car's broke down. But the truth is, my car wasn't broke down. My car was gasoline deficient. Mm. And when I found a neighbor that had a gallon of gas and I replenished what was deficient, my car worked perfectly. We're deficient of these 8 glyconutrients because of our diet, the way we live and eat today. And when people eat them and replenish what's deficient, they can restore normal function.
Back to some more testimonials. I really want to go back to that. We talked a little about cancer, certainly. You've touched on that several times. Mm. Give me some more.
This is not disease specific, so we hate to mention a disease, but let me share this with you. There was a medical doctor who was chief of the staff of one of the largest hospitals in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. Was a member of multiple who's who and all types of things. I mean, this was a top-notch doctor. And he had an aneurysm, and they did surgery to repair it, and they damaged part of his brain. And after he got out, for 12 years, he was in constant chronic pain, took 4 to 8 different pain medications every day. He stumbled, he fell, he stuttered, slurred his speech. In measured tests, he had lost 30% of his brain capacity. He would function for 2 hours and then have to take a nap. He heard about this, didn't think he believed it because he was a medical doctor.
Mm-hmm.
He started eating this stuff, and within a few months, he was off all of his pain medications. Now, he'd been this way for 12 years and not gotten any better. He got off his pain medication. He doesn't stumble or fall. He doesn't slur or stutter with his speech. And now he educates medical professionals about what you and I are talking about. Now, doctors will tell you that's medically impossible. When you have brain damage, brain injury, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, something like that, there's just really nothing we can do. So you are probably feeling that a little bit of skepticism. I know that because that's what medicine believes. There was a guy that lived near me when I was a kid. A bolt fell off of a drilling rig, hit him in the head, and he was brain damaged the rest of his life. Never got any better. It just doesn't. But this guy did. And there's other cases as well. What we've now learned is this. When you eat adequate amounts of glyconutrients, it will communicate inside your body that we have damaged tissue, whether that's brain tissue, whether that's cardiovascular tissue, spinal cord tissue, and we need to produce more stem cells, and we need them to migrate to this particular area. And that's what happened with this doctor. So when we see people with things that Parkinson's and dementia,
yes,
and things like that, when they eat the glyconutrients, over time, it's not an immediate, it's not a drug, but over time, the body begins to repair itself and heal itself from these things. These glyconutrients don't heal.
Regenerating.
Exactly. They don't treat or cure anything. They restore structure to enable function.
Which can ultimately lead to stem cell production.
We've known for years that we do What do you do when you have a cancer and you do give a bone marrow transplant?
Yes.
We've known that was effective most of the time for years and years and years. Well, we didn't know in the beginning that it's because there's stem cell in the bone marrow. That's where the stem cells are made. Adult stem cells are made in the bone marrow. So part of the effect of that was because of the stem cells that we put into the body of the patient. Well, when you eat the glyconutrients, communication is heightened, the need is identified, the production is turned on, and the migration of those things is turned on as well.
Neurological repair.
Not immediate, not a drug, but they're trying to do stem cell research right now for Parkinson's and things like that. And so someday they might be able to give us stem cells, but in the meantime, you can enhance your body's ability to manufacture stem cells and the migration of them with a natural process.
Any reports on like spinal cord injury patients?
Slow, been slow, but yes. Measured over time.
Stroke victims?
Yes. Numerous stroke victims.
Okay.
I mean, it's just amazing what happens there. And the sooner people expose themselves to the glyconutrients from the time they have the injury, their stroke or whatever, the sooner they work. We've seen genetic situations. They're genetic. But the body doesn't fix the genetic situation, but it's enabled to compensate for it. So we've seen children with things like fetal alcohol syndrome, where they're projected to never have an IQ above 50. Where all of a sudden they're having IQs of 105 and 110 after eating the glyconutrients for a few years. I mean, it's amazing. There's a disease that's quite common at some of the Indian reservations in Canada called epidermal isabulosa. And what it is their skin is being rejected by the body and it falls off. It's an autoimmune disease.
Okay.
When the little children start eating the glyconutrients, their skin stops falling off. That's a little bit related to cancer metastasizing. I mentioned that earlier. They float away and they're not supposed to. And they stop doing that when they eat the glyconutrients.
Why should a healthy person take the glyconutrients? Or should they?
Absolutely they should.
Okay.
If you think about it, if the body can restore normal function to the extent that it can help it heal itself from virtually any sickness and disease, what does that tell you about optimal function? Everybody should take this stuff. In clinical studies, it reverses 8 of the 10 biological markers of aging. It prepares you for illness. Listen to this. I have a friend that's 58. He has been taking glyconutrients for a number of years, and he was in Norfolk, Virginia, and got bit by a mosquito and got the West Nile virus.
Okay.
You know, that kills people.
Yes.
He goes to the hospital, and while he was there, there were two 20-year-old boys that were also admitted. Okay? The two 20-year-old boys who had not been eating glyconutrients died. The 58-year-old man should have been the one that died.
Right.
But his body was prepared to deal with that because it had heightened communication ability, which is what the immune system needs to fight or manage any sickness or disease.
Okay, so we can take these glyconutrients as healthy individuals to improve our immune system as anti-aging components?
Absolutely, for both. It's the operating system for the immune system and the whole body, actually. It's the operating system. When you put back in the body what it needs, it will rebuild structure and enable proper function. And when the body functions properly or normally, it doesn't get cancer, it doesn't get autoimmune diseases, it heals itself from virtually anything, and it better defends itself against any virus or any bacteria that you can come in contact with.
Because, you know, from my study in pharmacy school about viruses, they literally, as we were talking earlier, they take over the cell. They plug in and they tell the cell
To make more virus.
To make more of itself.
Right.
To make more virus.
Mm-hmm.
So it sounds like that there is not one person on this planet that couldn't benefit from glyconutrients. And there's really very few reasons, if any, that someone would not be able to take these glyconutrients.
Well, these glyconutrients, at least 5 of them, are in mother's breast milk.
Okay.
And if you can eat them when you're a tender baby, okay, mm-hmm. why could you not eat them when you're an adult?
And if they're a part of our natural physiology, then they need to be there.
You know, that statement that there's no individual that would need these, you're 100% accurate. That's the $64,000 statement because everybody needs them. You're exactly right.
Of course, you said they were in the mother's milk, so there's no age limit, if you will.
No.
Children can take them. Infants can take them.
If you've got an infant that's not nursing
mm-hmm.
and is taking formula,
mm-hmm.
you better supplement with these things. We've all heard the studies that children that nurse have less allergy, less asthma, higher IQ. Can you guess what it might be? They get the glyconutrients in mother's breast milk, and they don't get it in formula. So, yes, you can and should substitute it in formula.
Well, it's something that people may be wondering. How do you actually consume these glyconutrients? Are they tablets? Are they capsules?
They come in a powder. You mix it in juice or water or yogurt or whatever. It has a very little taste. You just eat it right away. I probably should warn people. We call them sugars, but they're not anything you should be concerned about if you're diabetic. Okay. Different type of sugar. We call them carbohydrates. They're not anything you should be concerned about if you're on a low-carb diet. Different type of carbohydrate, different type of sugar. Mm-hmm. Okay. Totally safe. Your body physiologically requires them.
You don't have to consume large amounts of these?
Well, a healthy person would consume a certain amount, and if you're dealing with a health challenge, you'd probably increase and eat more, and depending on the severity of your health challenge, you would eat even more until your body got back in line, and then you reduce and back up till you found an optimal amount that allowed your body normal function.
Okay, that makes sense.
Tastes a little weird. You've been to somebody's house and drank their water, and you said, oh, that's weird.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that, a little weird. But
right.
It doesn't taste bad.
All right. Sounds like a major breakthrough, Mark.
It is. When I heard about it, I said to myself, my gosh, if that's true, I've got to tell everybody I know, everybody I care about. But I'm not telling anybody until I know it's true because it sounded too good to be true. And I spent 100 hours in the next 3 weeks doing research to find out, and I found these articles and things that I referred to. It's real. And then I started application, and I saw the results that I mentioned and some others. And then I decided, you know, I've got to make an avocation of this. And so what I did was I spent several months studying this, and I started telling people, and I've become a nutraceutical rep, and this is what I do. And it's a passion for me, because when you get a phone call and someone says, Mark, guess what? What? I just changed my first tire in 10 years. I've always let someone else do it because I didn't have enough energy because of my diabetes and my heart condition. And because of that stuff you brought me, now I've got energy. I've got my life back. You get calls like that, it's rewarding. I have a friend, his name's Dr. Rayburn Gowen. He's 92 years old, he's retired from medical practice now. He was a medical doctor for 65 years, okay? And he says this, in the last 100 years, this discovery is the most monumentous discovery in healthcare. That's pretty bold from someone who's lived and practiced medicine most of the last 100 years. He goes on to say, even more so than penicillin. And I would just say to the viewers that if a medical doctor with 65 years of practice says something like that, it would at least wake me up to the extent to say, I've got to know more about that.
Right.
You know, that statement that there's no individual that would need these, you're 100% accurate because everybody needs them. You're exactly right.